Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
Well, hey, hey, family. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Kiss of Life, the show about empowerment and transformation. I'm your worldwide host, the motivational coach, Kimberly Renee, and I hope you all settled in for your weekly kiss. I'm so glad you tuned in tonight. I never take you guys for granted. I'm so grateful for you. So go ahead and tell your friends and family that Kiss of Life is streaming live on Love Radio Network. Just hit that Listen Live button. And if you want to dial in to listen, or you just want to chat it up with me, the number is 516-531-9623. Again, 516-531-9623. Family, I hope you enjoyed last week's show with our special guest, Dr. Danita Thompson of Mending Hearts Family Counseling. We were discussing mental health in the church, and, you know, we were experiencing, you know, some technical challenges, and the broadcast was kind of choppy, so I apologize for that, but hey, it happens. It's live radio. Nevertheless, we will definitely have Dr. Danita back real soon, because I really believe that our mental health is very important, and we will get the message out there. I mean, after all, we do want us and our community to be whole and well. Tonight, I'd like to share a quote by Marilyn Ferguson, which says, "Ultimately, we know deeply that the other side of every fear is freedom." So that's what we're getting into tonight. The topic is, afraid of what? Combating fear. Listen up, family. So I have this dilemma going on, and I've had some recent changes happen in my life. I've dropped about 70 pounds within the last year. I joined the 50 Club last year, and I'm about to be 51 next month, if God says the same. And actually, my birthday is on Easter this year, so I thought that was kind of befitting, you know, Resurrection Sunday. So I've been thinking that it's time for me to resurrect a new look. So the dilemma is whether I should cut my hair or not. When I was in high school, I loved the R&B singer Anita Baker. And so my senior year, I went out and had my hair cut similar to hers, you know, a little short, tapered style. And I wore that all through high school. I wore it for a few years. And, you know, eventually I grew my hair back. But in the meantime, you know, I had gained so much weight over the years, and I was kind of leery of cutting my hair again. So I had seen several shortcuts on other full-figure women that I really thought complimented them beautifully. But personally, for me, I just had this reservation. I had this thing that, you know, a shortcut wouldn't really look, you know, as good on me. So to top it off, you know, I got older and, you know, just really got out of the habit of styling my hair on a consistent basis, you know. So when I can't be bothered, which is a lot, I just throw it back in a ponytail and keep it moving because, you know, it's easy. In my younger years, you know, I had nothing but time to crimp in the mirror and experiment with this hairstyle or that hairstyle. But, you know, now I'm working, I'm handling my business, trying to build. I got a lot going on at this point. And so I really need a personal stylist. I mean, I do okay, you know, when I need to. But honestly, I just want to focus on being good at what I'm good at and let all the other stuff fall in place. So my current fashion style is clean, it fits, let's go. So if there are any fashionistas out there, you know, hit me up because your girl needs some help. And I don't want to have to think about my hair, what to wear. I have enough on my plate. You know, I just want to focus on taking care of my business. So I was having this conversation with Sugar Bear the other week and about what I should do. And, you know, he's like, babe, you know, that's your thing. It's up to you. I think you look good either way. You know, and I'm like, oh, that's cute. You know, I appreciate it. But, you know, that didn't help me at all. So now I'm appealing to you, my family, to help me make my decision. So I don't know. Maybe I'll take a poll and see what you guys think. Maybe I'll set that up. Because I know once I put it out there, then I have to be accountable and actually, you know, act on it. So I don't know. I don't think Facebook allows us to do polls anymore, really, on our personal pages. So I think you can do it on a group page. So, you know, I'll talk to the producers. You know, maybe we can set that up. So, you know, we're on lockdown right now anyway, so I won't be going to any salons, you know, anytime soon. But you know, that'll give me some time to work it out, but I will keep you guys, you know, up on the status of my makeover. All right, so now that my fashion rant is over, let's get into our topic of the night, which is dealing with combating fear. Afraid of what? Combating fear. One thing I'm sure that we all can agree on is that no one wants to be fearful or to live in fear because it's just not a good feeling. But we can't deny that, you know, we all have fears of some sort. And there are different types of fears. Some people are fearful of specific things and others, you know, just have fears in general that maybe they can't quite put their hands on. And then some fears really border on becoming phobias. I was reading an article online by CNN Health, which explained how fear is an adaptive behavior that we have within us to help, you know, identify threats. And that adaptive fear has the ability to allow us as humans to survive, you know, predators and natural disasters, things like that. However, we are born with only two innate fears, number one of which is the fear of falling. And the other is the fear of loud noises. So according to Seth Norholm, who's a translational neuroscientist at Emory University, when we hear loud sounds, we most likely will react with a fight or flight type response. It's actually called your acoustic startle reflex. And then he further explains that if a sound is loud enough, you know, we're going to naturally duck our heads. So loud noises typically mean, you know, startling. That circuitry is it's innate. It's a response that we have that signals danger maybe around the corner. So we have this innate adaptive fear, and then we have what's called learned fear, which are fears such as fear of snakes, fear of the dark, which basically are called natural fears that are developed at a young age. And basically they're influenced by our culture and our environment. For example, a child is not automatically afraid of spiders, but, you know, the fear, you know, comes from cues from their parents and, you know, or their environment, you know, so they get that evidence, you know, from these sources and that you need to be scared of these things. I don't know where my fear of rodents came from, but I can tell you I have no time for hamsters, squirrels, gerbils, mice, especially mice. Like, the mice thing really is definitely a phobia with me. If I know they're anywhere around, like, I really can't function. I hallucinate. I see things that aren't there. My imagination just runs wild. It's crazy. I really haven't decided yet, but I'm really considering, like, some hypnotherapy for that. I don't know. But it's bad. But that is something that I'm very fearful of. I struggle with fear from a very early age. And my earliest memory of fear, I must have been about maybe 6 or 7. I was a nervous child. I don't recall anything in my life occurring that was so tragic that would cause me to become such a nervous child. I was timid and quiet. As a child, I was timid and quiet as a child, because I know I have some family members tuning in right now, and they're probably saying, this girl ain't hardly quiet. I'm saying as a child, I was timid. I was shy. Not quite so much, as an adult, the caterpillar has come out of her cocoon, but, I really, maybe just more was soft spoken as a kid. The point that I'm getting at is that I was nervous, always worrying about stuff. And as a result of this nervousness, I really developed some nervous habits. Like I would lick my lips until they became chapped and red, and they would hurt so bad. I had this like little ring around my mouth all the time. And then I developed this other little thing where I started to lick my shoulder. It was crazy. It was like, just weird. But then to top it off, I used to play with this little girl whose grandmother lived next door to my grandmother, and she wore glasses. Well, she was supposed to wear glasses, and a lot of times she didn't wear them, so she would blink her eyes. So then I picked up that habit of excessively blinking my eyes. But I'm like, I don't need another nervous tick. Like, I have enough of my own. But of course, I eventually grew out of, those nervous habits. But I still kind of lived in fear. I was just fearful of bad things happening. And it's kind of one of the reasons why I don't particularly like routines, because if a routine is started and then it's broken, it kind of raises red flags with me. And then I went to a babysitter, up until I was around 12 or 13, and then my mom, this was at the urging of my dad, really started allowing me to be a latchkey kid, because he was like, that girl's 12, 13, let her go home, after school. So the routine was I would come in the house and, I would call her at work and let her know I was home from school, do my homework, yada, yada, and all that whole bunch of stuff. And I knew that her routine was, what time she got home every day, what time, she was supposed to be there. And if she wasn't home at that specific time or like 5 minutes after or whatever, I would immediately start thinking, something must have happened. Maybe she got into a car accident. I would just go through this stuff until I would hear her car pull up in the driveway. She would, toot the horn and that kind of thing. But as I got older, I didn't worry as much all the time, but I still, certainly experienced a certain amount of fear about certain things. And I think that's maybe why I feel like I have to have a certain amount of control over the outcome of my life. I'm a planner. I'm not very much of a risk taker at all. And there were just times when fear just consumed me. I remember waking up one morning, and this insatiable feeling of fear just was all over me. It gripped me so much that I just sat straight up in the bed. And for the life of me, I couldn't say what I was afraid of. But it was the worst feeling that I've ever felt. It was crazy because it was like there was nothing particularly going on in the world at that time or in my life. It was just a fear, and I couldn't explain it. And a few weeks after that, I woke up to this televangelist program that was on, and the minister was praying this powerful prayer. And, he gave the phone number for people to call in if they needed prayer. And, I called in, and, the woman prayed for me. And that was it. Like within the next few days or so, I received a call, and it was someone from this ministry, just calling to check on me. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So, we talked for a minute, and then, I was invited out to come to a prayer meeting at, the, actual church. And, so I went, and I know that, you can't sup at everyone's table, because everyone is not preaching sound doctrine, but I didn't feel any particular reservation about it. And, there have been times when I have walked out of some churches because I just, something fell off. But I didn't feel any of that in this situation. And, I'm going to this meeting and I'm talking to God on the drive, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I don't feel no red flags. And I went to the prayer, and, they asked for people to come up for prayer. And so I did, with my purse in hand, because everybody's not coming to the house of God for the same reasons. I'm just keeping it real. But when I tell you, I hadn't uttered a word to this pastor, and he began to pray for me. He prayed against everything that I had been experiencing, the angst, the fear. He prayed about my sleepless nights, you know, tormenting thoughts and just everything. And after the service, he began to share his own testimony with me about how he struggled with fear for many years himself. And so, you know, he immediately identified that spirit and was able to relate. But that day, that fear was broken off of me. And I have no doubt in my mind that God orchestrated those events. Cause fear is a spirit. And that's why, you know, God tells, God's word says that, you know, he has not given us a spirit of fear, you know, but of power, of love and, you know, of a sound mind. And so that was just, you know, my testimony about fear, but, there, I believe are, you know, three steps I want to share with you, about, you know, managing your fear, overcoming your fears. This is in no way, an exhaustive list. I just wanted to, you know, just share some pointers and things that, you know, basically, you know, helped me and they're still helping me because, you know, honestly, you know, some things can be broken off of us, but, you know, the enemy is still very, you know, real. He's very, cunning and, you know, he's always on his post. He's never going to stop trying. So of course these things do try to, you know, rear their ugly head back into your life. So, when you're dealing with, fear, basically, you know, you have to decide how bad you want to be free. Like really, how badly do you want to be free? So when I went to that prayer meeting at that church, I had never been there before. I had never heard of that program, the televangelist program until I woke up and it was on TV. So me going there at that moment, that was me deciding that, you know, I wanted to be free, from fear because, first of all, there are different levels of fear and the level of fear that I was experiencing, it was crippling, you know, like I literally felt paralyzed. And fear can really grip you to the point where you just don't move. Like you don't live your life to the fullest. You know, you can't function at your highest potential. It affects a lot of things. And at that point I was desperate because of course, you know, I had prayed about my fears before, but this time I was just tired of it obstructing my life. And it was just time, you know, it was just time. So, you know, it was time for me to really just be freed up, you know. I was just pressing my way. And I just never let anything stop me. And I was totally, thoroughly convinced that it was God because it was just like, the particular day I went, I just happened to, you know, I had no appointments. I didn't have to work that day. Everything just lined up, you know. It just lined up. And so that really is the first key. Like you just have to, you know, make a decision, you know, you know, like in life, just with anything, like when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, you will, you know, make that decision to just, you know, just be free of whatever it is, you know, fear, anxiety, whatever, and just, you know, start to take the steps to get the help that you need. And like for me, when I was talking about the hypnotherapy, because, you know, with the rodent thing, that does border on phobias. And my thing is like, if you need the help, just, you know, get the help. But it's just like, you know, someone who is a substance abuser. If you get tired of living your life that way, you know, you have to hit rock bottom, but you have to, first of all, admit that it's something that is affecting your life and that is a detriment to your life, you know, and there is greatness in all of us. And I believe that we all should live our life, you know, to the fullest. And because after all, Christ did come, you know, for us to have life and life to the full. So, you know, just, you know, make that decision. Be clear, like I'm tired of it. And that's the first step. Okay. And, the second step is, you know, it sounds crazy, but really accepting it, you know, accepting the fear because, to accept the fear, it's not saying that, you know, I'm not going to deal with my fear. it's just realizing that not all fear is bad fear. You know, there's a difference between feeling fear and living in fear. And the fear that I struggle with, you know, it made me unproductive. It made me too afraid to do anything or move in any direction. So I was actually living in fear, you know. The reality is that we're always going to experience fearful moments or situations, you know, just like what we're going through now, you know, with this coronavirus. It's a very scary time. You know, people are just unsure of what's happening. People are unsure of how long it's going to go on. They don't know what to do. Well, people are, you know, getting different reports from different sources, and people just, you know, we don't know what to believe right now, you know, but we don't have to be anxious and let it consume us. You know, we can prepare, we can take the proper precautions and, you know, do our part, you know, in believing, you know, that this too shall pass. So just as I was referencing the scripture earlier about, you know, God not giving us a spirit of fear. I mean, God's word is forever, you know, and that's why the scriptures are there, because we don't just read his word one time. Like, we read it and we reread it. And it's there to remind us, because we're going to face more fearful moments, but we have something to reflect on in those moments. So, yes, we do want to break free of that paralyzing fear, but the adaptive fear, you know, that's the fear that causes us to avoid danger. Now, that's not a bad fear. I mean, you wouldn't walk up to someone who wanted to stab you and be like, you know, I have no fear. You know, like, you're going to just walk right into the knife. I mean, at least I hope you wouldn't do that, you know. So that type of fear, you know, serves its purpose in alerting us to danger. And once you can accept the fear, then it's much easier to navigate through it. Because sometimes, really, I think that we're just afraid of being afraid. And that's really what grips us. You know, it's the fear of being fearful, you know, if that makes any sense. But, yeah, so just, you know, accept it and, you know, to help you, you know, navigate through it. And the third point is really exercise your faith over your fear. Most of what we fear starts in our minds. So we must have faith that we can actually overcome what we fear, or at least, you know, manage it. For me, being an actress and a singer as well, I've been doing that for about 15, 16 years. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how many times I do it. I get scared every time. Like, some people have stage fright. Well, I get pre-stage fright. Like, I think of everything that could possibly go wrong once I hit the stage. Like, what if I trip, or what if I flub my lines, or what if I forget the lyrics to the song? But once I'm actually out there and I hit that stage, the fear dissipates. Now I'm drawing my energy from the audience. I've done the same thing with needles, like, for years. Like, I've always been afraid of needles. And it's so funny, because we had a family doctor, and he passed away when I was about 15, and I really grieved his death, but it wasn't like I was grieving so much for the loss of him, but it was just like, when I went to him, like, I never felt the needle. And I was like, he gave the best needles. And I was like, oh my God, like, I, you know, this guy is gone. Who's going to give me my needles now? You know? And so, I just was really, you know, I would just always be anxious every time I had to, you know, get a shot or get blood drawn. I was always bracing myself, you know, for the pain, and just made it just like, you know, just blew it out of proportion, really, you know. And all I ever felt really was like a little stick, you know. But Our minds can do that. You know, our minds, you know, magnify the pain and the fear beyond what we actually experience in most cases. You know, we must keep in mind that, you know, we will get through what it is that we fear. And I've learned that, you know, just feel the fear and go for it. You know, there are times when, you know, we'll be afraid of things, but, you know, just have faith and just do it afraid. You know, our thoughts have power, and you know, our thoughts lead to words, and our words lead to actions, and so we manifest the negative in our lives. You know, just as we manifest the positive. Just like, you know, if you've ever done a vision board, you know, vision boards, you know, you really, those are your dreams, and people have seen things come to pass in their life by doing vision boards and books and stuff like that, you know, because, you know, you're putting that positive energy out there into the universe. And so these things are going to come back to you, you know. So just as you put the positive out there and it's going to come back to you, that's what happens with the negative. Okay. So just as far as having the faith, you know, speak life to your fearful circumstances instead of death. Okay, really, because when you do that, this is your destiny is nothing but freedom. That's basically what it is. Okay, so just to recap, make a decision. That's number one, that you just ready to, you know, be free of the fear. Just make a decision, and then, you know, accept it, and then, you know, exercise your faith over fear. You know, speak life to your fear and know that you're a conqueror. Okay. That's my time. It went so fast tonight, but you know, I really just hope I gave you some nuggets. Guys, I appreciate you. Please, you know, follow me on my website. It's KimberlyRenee7.com. I'm on Facebook at Kimberly Renee Truthfully Speaking LLC. I'm on Instagram at KimberlyRenee2425, and on Twitter at Kimberly Renee, the number 4. And guys, really, my email address is krd152@gmail.com. I've been asking you guys for weeks, like, you know, really hit me up. Let me know what you want me to talk about, what topics interest you and everything. You know, I love to hear from you. Okay. And don't go anywhere. Stick around for my girl, Simone Hurt. You know, she's coming up with some good stuff for you for a single woman's love. Listen, family, thanks for hanging with me tonight. I love you. There's nothing you could do about it. Remember, there's greatness in you. Share it.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.